And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
I bet you can't guess what she's going to do. No, you got it wrong. She's kicked away her shoe.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Hey, basketball fans, this one's for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! And over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Hello to all the podcast listeners as well. Thanks to everybody who filled out that podcast survey yesterday. So many of you helped us out that The Athletic told us, hey, can you slow down a little? We have too many No Dunks fans now filling out the survey. So you guys coming through. I think there was like 450 people that had already filled it out. So they said, okay, we got enough of your No Dunks fans. We'll get some of the other podcasts on the network. So thank you. We appreciate that.
JD filled it out yesterday.
Wow.
That's for sure. He said
it. Okay. I was the one that broke it.
Well, that is awesome. On today's pod, we got a little news later in the show. Trey has a very fun tweet of the night by way of the Celtics. But let's talk about a few of last night's games. I would say about half of them were a little more interesting than the other ones because of the teams and maybe the results. But let's start with the Bucks beating the Clippers. 113-106 for their sixth straight victory. Milwaukee rolling here, and they rallied in this one to beat the Clips.
Yeah, without Giannis Antetokounmpo. I was watching this game, and the Bucks broadcast showed Giannis working out, and he stopped. All of a sudden, he's got the headphones working, and then he just felt something in his left Achilles. Left Achilles tendonitis, so he doesn't play. They decide Pat Connaughton's going to the starting lineup. That's what the PA announcer said. Then all of a sudden, the broadcast crew said, whoa, one play in. Whoa, who's on the floor? Patrick Beverley is on the floor. Was that a Doc Rivers move to throw off the Clippers? I don't know.
They're both named Pat.
Yeah, he said, we're starting Pat tonight.
Yeah.
Pat C, Pat B. Yeah, they screwed up. But Patrick Beverley, he was getting after Paul George. He was just all up in his face, guarding Paul George, who was obviously way bigger than him. I don't know if he wants a podcast war or something, but Paul George was, you know, trying to play off him. Patrick Beverley scored an and one, and while he was on the ground, he said, pick me up, to Paul. And then as he got up, he kept saying, pick me up. But it looked like the Bucks, excuse me, without Giannis, we're going to lose this game. They're down double digits in the third quarter. Yep. Doc, a challenge, so they get the ball back at the end of the third quarter, and that worked. Malik Beasley got the ball, three. It's an 8-point game, and then the fight, the scrap in the fourth quarter. This Bucks team, as we were talking about yesterday, they play defense, and they had some, you know, old guys doing great things. Danilo Gallinari with a putback dunk. This guy they signed a few weeks ago, his first dunk with the Milwaukee Bucks. He used to be a Doc Rivers guy with the Clippers. Doc loves doing that, getting the old guys. But it was just truly hard defense. Pat Beverley, the steal, and then the three, part of a 15-0 run when the Bucks just literally took over with that monstrous 23-10 to end it, the fourth quarter. Dame doing his thing for 41 points, and Bobby Buckets, really, it was Bobby Portis was awesome.
Portis and Beverley were like hyping each other up, screaming at each other. Like the energy both those guys brought obviously had an impact on this game, along with Damian Lillard, you know, giving us a little Dame time, 41 points. But sort of a weird game when you looked at the schedule, right? Because, well, no Giannis, no Middleton, who've missed his 11th straight game for Milwaukee, but they're still winning. And then the Clippers, third game in four nights, the Sega Baba, the second game of a back-to-back. So, you know, they ran out of gas a little
Baba
bit.
Baba Yaga?
Yeah, they ran out of gas a little bit. But, yeah, I thought you were about to speak to Bobby, I think, and Pat Bev there, bringing the energy.
Oh, man, Bobby has so many nicknames. A, they call him Bobby.
Yeah.
I mean, he's Bobby. He could be Robert Portis, and he wouldn't be as good.
No.
But they call him Bobby Buckets. They called him the mayor last night. And, of course, we call him Hot Bobby, and he was Hot Bobby last night. He had a three in front of the Bucks bench in the fourth quarter. He hit a little little dance, and they called it the Bobby Boogie.
Yeah.
He was killing it, though.
Yeah.
Zubats could not keep up with him when the Clippers had a big guy out there. Then when they went small, anytime it was a mismatch, Portis was just able to muscle whoever it would be. Harden, Amir Coffey, Kawhi at times, get to his hook shot and knock him down. He was really, really good. And then Tess mentioned it. Doc was rolling with some crazy lineups. It was Dame, AJ Green, Malik Beasley, Tip Dunk, Danilo Gallinari, and Bobby Buckets for a long part of this. Yeah. AJ Green hit a super deep three at some point, hit two in the fourth quarter, and then checked back in the starters. Dame, Beverly, AJ Green stayed out there the entire fourth quarter. Portis was there, and Lopez as well. They went on a 15-0 run to basically close this one out. It was fun to watch. Unlikely finals preview, but it could happen. These are two good teams, and yeah, it felt like it because I thought this was a pretty physical game. That's why the teams had to use three challenges before the end of the third quarter, because mm-hmm. there were so many missed calls that when you finally reviewed it, you're like, oh, we got to go to the table yeah. and check it out. But whatever Joe Dumars did with regards to calling these teams after the All-Star break, it has worked. The games are much more physical
yeah.
right now.
Yeah,
and low scoring.
Yes.
106-102, 113-106. 119-114, 113-109, and 127-115 all last night.
Yeah,
fairly low scoring in comparison to today's modern NBA. Yeah, the referees, they're having a bad one last night, I thought.
Overall?
Well, in that particular game, both teams were extremely mad. Dame was extremely mad because he got hit in the head. And they just made it up. They said, okay, Terrence Mann got hit, but we just won't call it on the other end. They were just doing really good makeup calls, I thought, in this one. Kawhi was the center in the fourth quarter to finish this game, and Kawhi just didn't look like Kawhi in this game. He had zero buckets in that fourth quarter, just couldn't hit a friggin' shot. So I think the Clippers being on a back-to-back, hate to make that
reason. Yeah, the third and fourth, for sure.
Yeah. Yep. It was the Minnesota-Milwaukee. The M&M should be tasty, but it was not for the Los Angeles Clippers. It should have been. But Bobby Buckets, you talked about the little shimmy that he did. They explained... I heard Malik Beasley talk about his shimmy. He's got a really good shimmy. When he played in Utah, he said that he was a Jay-Z guy, and they had Jay-Z playing when he hit a shot, and it was still going after he hit a shot, and he just naturally shimmied.
Wow.
And that's where it was born for him. So I don't know if Bobby's got it from him, but yeah.
He's a great celebrator.
He is.
Beasley is good, too, and then Portis, if he's either dancing or just making faces, is great. I also like seeing James Harden had a chip on his shoulder, I thought, playing against his former coach, Doc Rivers. Not playing against his former team, but playing against his former coach, 29 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists. He just kept drawing and ones in the fourth quarter, and they were all legit as far as I could tell. So this was a pretty fun game to watch.
Bobby, 14 of his 28 in the fourth quarter, had 16 rebounds too. He became the first NBA player this season to have at least 25 and 15 coming off the bench, so that's huge. And then you guys already talked about Beverly there. He did spark that late rally, right? Because he hit a three that tied the game at 96 with 4.5 to go. And then in the Clippers' ensuing possession, Beverly stole the ball, and that set up Lillard's driving layup there with 4:10 to go, gave the Bucks the lead for the first time since the first quarter, and they held on. I love this point from Frank Madden, who covers the Bucks. The upside of Pat Bev bouncing from team to team the last few years is that basically every night now ends up being a revenge game for him, and there's nothing he loves more than vengeance. That's so spot on. He's played for basically every team now, so he's like, oh, they let me go. They didn't believe in me. And then he's all fired up and tries to stick it to them. I love that from Frank Madden. Also, this note, when Damian Lillard shoots at least 50%, the Bucks are undefeated, 20-0, when Dame is just, above 50% from the floor. So, you get caught into, when Dame has 40, they're this and this, or 50, they're this and this. It's just a high percentage there, at a good clip, they're very difficult to beat. And, it's a different team, obviously, when Giannis isn't there. And you can see the benefit of having another superstar in Damian Lillard to sort of carry you across the finish line.
But you could tell that he changes the way he plays with Giannis being a late scratch. He came out looking to carry the team. 15 points in the first quarter. Then in the second quarter, I thought he was trying to grift too much. That was first half of the season basketball that would have drawn free throws. Couldn't get him in the second quarter. So he only had 4, but then 12 in the third quarter, 10 in the fourth. Anytime they needed a basket, Lillard was doing it.
I'd imagine that Giannis would have played through this if it was the postseason because it looked like he could, and he usually does play through it. He's a tough dude. He's only missed 3 games this season, so he can still win MVP because he's going to meet that 65-game mark there, I'm sure. But then he came out after getting a little bit of work on the Achilles, which is always a little wild to hear because you think maybe he freaking snapped that thing like so many players before because nobody was touching him pregame. But he went and came back and he looked fine out there. And he was excited as the Bucks fans were excited in the fourth quarter when Paul George missed two free throws. That means free wings at Wingstop.
Oh, that's nice. Wow, what a year for Wingstop. What an absolute incredible NBA season for them with the Pistons and that whole promo they had going. And then I guess this. Didn't know this.
Yeah, it's happened in Milwaukee multiple times. Giannis always cheers. And happened for you in Chicago, right?
Yeah, I won some free wings from Wingstop. And for whatever reason, because like you register with your email address, it like logs you in for the whole season. So now anytime the Bulls do the Wingstop thing, I get an email saying you can go to any Chicagoland location.
Ooh, pick up six it's got to be Chicagoland. Oh, yeah.
So I'm scamming, though. Sending it to my friends. Hey, who wants some wings tonight?
Oh, that's good.
Who wants some Parmesan garlics?
I thought you were going to say you fired up the VPN to get your Wingstop.
A life VPN.
And they have Chicago, to be boneless?
I don't know about that. For some reason, I got boneless on the brain. I think it's that. I don't know if it's true. But the Bucks fans were going crazy when they got the wings. And obviously, they got the ball back because of the rebound. I forget who took a three. And maybe it was Beverly. But that could have been the loudest the arena would have gotten. You get the wings, and then you hit it like a big momentum three.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
I figured it out there in Milwaukee last night. Okay, good win from the Bucks. Moving on. Let's go to D'Angelo Russell, scoring 26, helping lead the surging Lakers past the West-leading Thunder. Well, they were the West-leading Thunder. 116-104. Minnesota won last night. Thunder lose. So many back in the number one spot in the West. But, the Lakers continuing to rack up wins here. And D'Angelo Russell, I mean, he had the heat check of all heat checks there where he hit the three straight threes. And the game was sort of a little out of hand at that point. I think it was like nearly a 20-point lead. Lakers just played great, good defense. Thunder couldn't hit a shot. But then he hit those back-to-back-to-back threes, and the place was going nuts.
In a minute. And the last one, he didn't want to take it. Passes it to LeBron at the top. LeBron passes it back. He's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on. This is how we do it. So then he knocks it down. Ice in the veins. That was pretty cool for D'Angelo Russell. And yeah, the Lakers, they're surging because they're winning, but they are still in ninth place. But that means they could run into the Thunder in the first round of the playoffs. And if that's the case, this has to be a little bit of a proof of concept win if you're LA just thinking, hey, we can compete with this team. We've got the veteranship, and obviously we've got the size, because this is weird. The Lakers turned the ball over 20 times. OKC only turned the ball over 10 times, but the Lakers scored 26 points off those turnovers, and the Thunder only scored 10 points off the Lakers' 20 turnovers. So that, to me, shows you the Lakers were so much better in transition on both sides of the ball. They're getting back when they make a mistake, and I thought they were so good at turning defense to offense, which is something LA needs to do because things can get a little clunky in the half court unless you got D'Angelo Russell knocking down a ton of threes. 22 second chance points as well for LA off of 12 rebounds. That's almost all converted. You know, that doesn't always happen. Sometimes you'll see 12 offensive rebounds and 12 second chance points. But they used their size to their advantage, and their defense got some easy shots for them on the other end of the court. That's how the Lakers are going to have to win. But they've got to win a lot of games to even get out of the play-in tournament, because they're still ninth. They're still ninth. They're playing their best basketball. Ninth place. And they can be out in one game in the play-in tournament.
I was just going to say, just to remind people, you know, 9 plays 10. Whoever wins that still has to play again, has to play the loser of the 7-8 game to then just have an even chance to get into the playoffs and be the 8th seed. So yes, you know, you still work to do there, even if you're in the play-in, and anything can happen in one game. And we see it all the time with these games where you can't hit a three, you know, like, and that's your season done like that. So you obviously want to get out of that position, but your thoughts on this game from last night?
They are in ninth, just to go back to the standings there, and they do play the teams that are in front of them the rest of the way. They play the Sacramento Kings twice, who are in seventh. They do play the Pelicans as well, who are, you know, right there ahead of them. It is a sort of a tight race. And as Trey said about this matchup with OKC, they have beaten OKC three times this season. They are 3-1 against OKC. Now, who would I take in a series between OKC and LA? OKC. They will have home court advantage if this does happen. That being said, I think it is a bad matchup for OKC. This Lakers team and Anthony Davis, who's been playing at an MVP level, really, he has been playing at MVP level. They have the best big on the floor, undoubtedly, with Anthony Davis. And then they have LeBron. And I do think those two factors, this being sort of like this is an old LeBron. And even in, you know, younger Miami Heat days, he'd say late in the season, he'd say, all right, let's turn it on now. Like, so it doesn't feel too far off to me that this team could win a playoff series, especially because this is a very, very, very similar team to who they were last year in the postseason. Now, they just need a couple of their scrappy defenders back. They got a double V problem. Vanderbilt and Vincent would be very nice. Vanderbilt was a part of that, and he was big. But just looking at this team last night, it was a really good defensive performance. Really good, especially against Shea. They weren't even doubling him extremely hard, but Austin Reeves, I thought, was great against him. And Spencer Dinwiddie came off. They were just really, really good against Shea, which was surprising. Shea didn't have a great game.
No, for sure. I think we unlocked a new NBA character, too. I'd like to propose this to you guys. We know about Game 6 Clay, Hoodie Mello, Untucked Kyrie, Playoff Jimmy, maybe shirtless offseason Ben Simmons, if you want to get crazy. What about trade deadline D'Lo? This guy's been cooking since the deadline. Since he was involved in all those trade rumors, is he going to be moved? Is he not? He had a great game right before the deadline. He had 28 points. Since the deadline, D'Angelo Russell averaging 20.5 points per game, 6.5 assists, 4 boards, a steal, shooting nearly 42% from 3 over those 10 games. The Lakers have a good record, 7-3. So deadline D'Lo, maybe a new character. Maybe. Something to watch here because he obviously has turned it on and the shot's dropping and he's feeling good. He's helping. You know, a lot of people shit on D'Angelo Russell. And I get it. He's streaky.
Yeah.
You know, he has bad games.
You poop on him a little bit. Well, he's not your guy.
I don't poop on him nearly as much as some of the other guys in the NBA media. You'd think he's the worst player of all time. If anything, I go to bat for him a little bit more because this is the thing. It's the good and the bad. I mean, there's a lot of players like that in the NBA. But you see a bad D'Angelo Russell game, you're like, oh my God, get this guy out of here. Get this guy out of the league. But he's streaky, and he's like, he'll have these stretches, these weeks, and he obviously is not afraid of the moment and stuff like that, so he's playing well. Deadline D'Lo. Let's see if he's a new character.
Deadline D'Lo.
Well, they'll always want to trade him, so maybe that's good. because that's the thing with D'Angelo Russell is he plays the same way, regardless of if the shot is going in or if it isn't. And at this point, he has become the key for the Lakers. They need his three-point shooting. And that's a risky proposition.
Yep.
Risky Russell.
For sure.
And the reason why I had another flashback of last year's playoffs was because of D'Angelo Russell. Remember, he had that third quarter where he had 4 straight threes. Literally, just give him the ball. 4 straight threes. And in this one where LeBron said, you freaking shoot. You've hit 2 threes. Hit another one. And he hit one. He did that last year in the postseason. Now, Darvin Ham was balancing. Okay, we're going to take you off the floor. We don't have a really good defense here at the end of the game. We'll take you off. Spencer Dinwiddie is kind of being that right now. I don't know. Darvin hasn't had a good season with the rotations. That's a problem. Gabe Vincent may come back and help out. They've got so many freaking guards.
I literally forgot about Gabe Vincent.
Yeah. I don't because he brings him up every time we talk about the Lakers.
He's the
every
new Kendrick
time.
Nunn.
Yeah. Well, he's better than Kendrick Nunn.
Is he?
Yeah, he is. He's not around. That's for sure. But Austin Reeves kind of looks good. Sometimes they want to play him. Like, he just had a career high with 15 assists against the Denver Nuggets. Like, he does look good. But the rotation of guys is just not the same as it was last year going into the postseason.
Sure.
And that's a problem for the Lakers. That being said, they could get back to that 7th spot that they had last year. It's pretty freaking close right now.
Let's move to Coby White scoring a career high 37 as the Bulls rally from 22 down to stun the Kings 113-109. We got one hell of a streak going on this show, I know. Anytime we talk up the Kings, the very next day, they do something old Kings-like where they blow a huge lead. You know, we were talking about Malik Monk and his sixth man of the year candidacy and the Kings, like, getting some good wins, beating the Wolves on the road. And then they were in control, up 22, like I said, and then DeRozan, Coby White, storm back in. And the Bulls get the victory, TK. I know you were watching.
Game of runs, and I feel shame today, Skeets, because I was not watching. I went to bed at halftime. I had a lot of early morning stuff to do today, so I didn't get to catch up until today, when I saw messages from all of my Bulls fans, friends, and family, both my dad and stepbrother stayed up to watch this game, but they didn't want to text because it was too late, so they thought everybody else would be asleep, but just me, the guy who gets paid to watch it.
Well, hold on, you're East Coast time. They are,
well,
are they Central
one is
time?
In Chicago. My dad is in Chicago. Okay. He's retired.
Yeah.
And my stepbrother lives in Boston. He's East Coast time as
okay,
well.
Okay, fair enough. You should have stayed up then,
I guess. Yeah, I should have stayed up. Because I should have known this is going to be a close game. Kings always play to their competition.
Yeah.
That means they're good against the good teams, and it means they're bad against the mid teams, which the Bulls are. The Bulls, meanwhile, they always play clutch games. 35th of the season. I think it's the third most in the league. They're 20-15. That's pretty good, actually. This is actually the Bulls' first 20-point road comeback since January 5th, 2021, which, if you're a no-dunks historian, marks the beginning of the Bulls are back era.
Whoa!
Literally, wow. That was the first time it was ever said. Wow. And I missed it. Until I checked in this morning. Kobe White, a career-high 37. He just kept getting downhill. The threes were nice, but we talk about his MIP case. I always say plus 10 points per game. Cool, cool, cool. Yeah. That's just numbers. But this is really what Kobe White has improved at. He was a streaky shooter and a speedster when he came into the league. He was skinny and fast. That's it. He is a strong guy now, and that shows in how he's able to draw fouls. That shows in how his handle is a lot tighter, and you just can't get the ball off him. He fouled out Sabonis in the fourth quarter here, and that's really when the Bulls ended up winning it. Yeah. DeRozan obviously was killer in the fourth quarter. He scored 19, went 7-for-7 from the field, 4-for-4 from the free throw line, and so many of them were like impossible DeRozan shots. Instead of calling one a layup, I saw in the play-by-play, they called it a driving, floating bank jump shot from 3 feet. I was like, come on, Doc.
It's a layup.
It's just a straight-up layup. Driving, floating bank jump shot. The most confusing possible way
just to lay up.
Yeah. But that was cool. He was good in the fourth quarter, and once Sabonis fouled out, it kind of seemed like the Kings didn't exactly know where they were going to get their offense from, and Vooch did a really good job of being the biggest guy out there, just staying at the rim, verticality, grabbing boards, grabbing a couple of offensive rebounds to extend possessions for the Bulls.
He had that one where he tipped to Caruso.
That was big
and the
time,
Bulls
yeah.
kept it in the end. Yeah.
He had two big ones, I thought. Yeah. So, I mean, that changes a 20-second possession into a 40-second possession, basically, and that's how you're able to squeeze out a win like this one. So, Bulls not yet back, still 3 games under .500.
Okay.
But we're still living in that era, man. What a year.
Any thoughts on Kobe and DeRozan and the Bulls here?
Well, yeah. The Bulls have come back from 3 20-point games this season. It's kind of weird.
Wow. 20,
and, this one, the first one on the road, I guess. Obviously, people say a 20-point lead in the NBA, that ain't nothing these days. That's partly true, and that's why you got to be a good four-quarter team. And the Kings were almost that. I mean, they were three quarters, pretty much. And then Sabonis just shows you how important he is to this team, because when he fouls out, it doesn't go all that well, unfortunately. What's up with these Kings? Why are they such a roller coaster?
Trey's right. They just play to the level of their competition. That's why
true.
I said yesterday, look at their record against the top four teams in the West. Really good. What did I say? 8-5, I think they were against, those top four seeds. But then they have like multiple losses to... I think they've lost twice to the Hornets, I want to say. Like, some of the bottom barrel teams they've lost to. Not like the Bulls aren't that, but like mid. And they play to their competition. Mm-hmm. It's what they do. I guess you could say, I don't know, maybe that's a good thing come playoff time. They'll be playing good teams.
That's right.
Maybe they'll win a playoff series, but it got to be infuriating for Kings fans. Like, that, they played really well for a majority of this game. This is a game they should have won, and then they let the Bulls right back into it. And, like, that 20-point lead, like, you're right. In today's NBA, I mean, all these shooters, all these three-point shooters, you can get back in a hurry. But it's not like the Bulls are a known great three-point shooting team. I think they're one of the worst when it comes to, like, you know, total makes and attempts and stuff like that. But still, to erase that deficit, it really was, too. I mean, Vooch did his part, don't get me wrong, but, man, Kobe White and DeRozan. Those guys in these clutch games, they got two of them. Honestly, it feels like two of the better guys in the league when the game is tight that can create a shot.
Well, thank you so much for saying that.
Yeah.
That was very kind to hear. DeRozan has been the man for the Bulls since he showed up, to the point where Kobe's game has grown and people are like, he's got to get some more touches in the fourth quarter because he's become a pretty solid player. Yeah. And like I said, the ball control is a lot better now than it used to be. DeRozan has taken a step back, I do think, this year, which is good because Kobe stepped up. And honestly, I would assume it has been a huge part of the reason the Bulls have been able to string together some wins in this nice 40 games they've played here, because he's improved a whole bunch, too. He always brings the effort as well, and he was backing up DeRozan during that game against Patrick Beverley. Like, he was the guy that laid him out. They're at least connected right now.
Yeah, this could be their starting backcourt for the next few years. I don't see why they wouldn't try Kobe and Ayo Dosunmu. It is interesting what they're going to do with DeMar this offseason as a free agent.
Somebody, one of the big names, really.
Somebody could definitely go and pay him to be their offensive type guy, because if you're starting the backcourt with that with the Bulls, you need somebody defensively, especially if Vooch is starting as the center. They need something else different than just DeMar's greatness on the offensive end.
Only three other games on last night. Rudy Gobert and Michael Conley, as the AP report put in the headline. That caught me by surprise. Michael Conley. I don't never call him that. Gobert and Conley power the Wolves past the Blazers 119-114. Like I said, they move back into first place in the West because of OKC losing. Luke Kennard, the Nard Dog, scored a season-high 25 points. Grizzlies beat the Nets 106-102. And then Jordan Clarkson scored 38 as the Jazz pulled away late to beat the Wizards 127-115. The Wizards have now lost 15 straight. They have the Hornets on Friday. They got the Grizzlies next Tuesday. As Ziller wrote, if they don't win one of those games, this streak has Pistonian potential. Great stuff from Ziller there. But any notes on any of those three games?
Yeah, I thought the Pistonian potential was done in this one. I thought the Wizards looked all right.
Yeah.
And they do sometimes. But not for four quarters.
No.
Yeah, I think they'll probably beat a Grizzly team. Probably.
What? Why?
I don't know.
Why would you say that?
They can shoot.
No, I was like,
they're horrible.
Yeah, they are. Confirmed.
Yeah.
But I just thought that they were going to do it in this one. That's a lot of losses.
Yeah.
There's not too many teams out there that can do it. They're not doing it against the Charlotte Hornets, that's for sure. This Hornets team can play. they are different now the last few weeks. But, yeah, I'm watching Wizards-Grizzlies next week. I can't wait.
Okay, Tuesday. Crazy, it's on your calendar.
Yeah, I am.
I will say the Jazz had one of the sickest highlights in the league this season. They hit an NBA Street Level 2 game breaker on the break. Colin Sexton threw a lob to Keontae George. Yep. Keontae George jumps up, grabs it, tips it off the glass back to Colin Sexton for the dunk. They got 100,000 trick points. And you saw afterwards... Keontae George is like pointing to the scorer's table like, that was a pass. That was a pass. I didn't blow the layup. I was intentionally throwing it off the glass.
It was very high above the rim. I believe him is my point.
Oh, totally. Yeah, it had to be. But like those guys are 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
And they were running a double alley-oop off the glass. A floating driving bank alley-oop. It was nice, man.
I think the NBA YouTube page had that ranked fourth. That was only the fourth best highlight of the night.
Wow.
They had another one from this game that they thought was better. Talen Horton Tucker, Ahmad Rashad himself, doing a pretty nice 360-ish finish in the lane. It was nice, but
I mean, come on.
Like you said, we had a double alley-oop there with two small guys. I thought that should have been higher than four.
Agree.
Come on. I got something from that game, though. Statitudes let me know. Jordan Clarkson now has 13 career 30-point games coming off the bench for the Jazz, breaking a tile with Thurl Bailey for the most such games in franchise history. I got a little trivia, though. Clarkson has now 17 games in his career, so for all the teams he's played for, where he's had 30 or more off the bench. That is double that of any other active player. Can you name that player? Almost double that. So this player has 9 30-point games off the bench, active player. A little trivia for you boys here.
Malik Monk?
Nope. It's a decent guess. Stick with that school.
Another Kentucky scorer. Not quickly.
Nope.
Obviously not a bookie books. Off the bench.
Active player.
Yeah. We haven't talked about him a lot at all this season.
Is it a guard or big?
Yeah, it's a guard.
Gotta be.
Yeah, guard.
Yeah.
Kentucky guard.
Kentucky guard who's a buck. Tyler Hero?
Bingo.
Starter
don't think
now.
About that.
Yes.
That's why it's confusing.
Tyler Hero with 9 such games. But Jordan
he did
Clarkson.
Win a sixth man of the year, so
yeah,
makes sense.
It does make sense. And then the other note I have from one of those games that I threw at you. Anthony Edwards, did you see this? He was forced to come off the bench because he missed the opening tip-off. Just missed it. He was in the back. He said, I lost track of time. So he usually spends much of his like pregame warm-ups, I guess, like doing resistance band work outside the team locker room. So he was back there, didn't know the game was starting. And they actually got hit with like a delay of game. Like Nikhil Alexander-Walker had to like check in. And then start, and then Edwards came in like, 30 seconds into the start of the game. This would be a bigger story, like if they went on to lose, you know what I mean? They're fine. They played the Blazers. Like they played the Blazers. They win, but whoops.
Or if it was like DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, true.
This is a guy who is beloved. So if he misses the start of the game for resistance band work, I think he was in the bathroom.
Oh, you think he's taking a crap?
I do.
Why wouldn't you just own that, man? That's cooler.
Is
I'm
it?
Taking a dump. Yeah.
Yeah.
We did hear a diarrhea chant at WWE last night.
The Rock, man.
Whoa, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, Seth Rollins got the crowd. He was calling The Rock Diarrhea Dwayne. And so the crowd started a diarrhea chant.
Come on.
Yeah, serious.
Chanting for diarrhea.
Do you think, okay, Anthony Edwards, I don't know when the Wolves play on the road next. Do you think the crowd should start a diarrhea chant?
Yeah.
They should.
Yeah, of course.
Try and get
they
in
should.
His head.
They should chart it, for sure. Why not? But it's true. It is true that the refs would hold up the game if Anthony Edwards let people know. Like, he texted while he was on the toilet. Hello, I can't be out there. The refs, we were broadcasting or were calling the Skyhawks game the other day. Commercial was going too long.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was people who let the referees know, hey, we'll be back in 30 seconds. Or like, they didn't say 30 seconds.
Yeah, but
just
like,
wait.
Hold the ball.
Hold the ball,
yeah,
referee.
Don't inbound it, yeah.
Do not inbound it. That would happen for sure.
You think way. One of the officials would hold the ball, wouldn't yes. jump ball.
If they hold it in
if
the
If they
G
knew
League,
Anthony Edwards had diarrhea.
Yeah, they will hold it in the NBA. I think so.
Delay a game, diarrhea.
So we, okay. But we don't know if he had diarrhea.
No,
we don't know.
I don't think he had okay. diarrhea. Well, I think he was actually just maybe doing bad work.
So you think he was out where people could see him, staffers are around, and they didn't tell him the game's starting? That makes more sense than him being in the bathroom and nobody wanting to go
I mean,
in there.
When you put it that way, you're right. But maybe the trainer doing with them, they just lost track of time. They didn't know what the hell was going on.
Well,
I don't know.
He needs to do a Giannis speech then. Our trainers need to be better. Tell us how much time is left.
Who knows? Let's get to the bottom of this. Krasinski, was Anthony Edwards taking a dump before the game? Answer the question. All right, let's take a break. You want to take a break? I got to go take
bathroom
a dump.
Break.
Yeah, exactly. When we come back, we'll get into some NBA news. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks.
Ooh, do not go in there. Okay, we got some news here. Allen Iverson is getting a statue on the Philadelphia 76ers Legends Walk. The Legends Walk, for those that don't know, located in front of the team's training complex, includes the likes of Charles Barkley, Wilt Chamberlain, Julius Erving, Maurice Cheeks, Moses Malone, Billy Cunningham, Hal Greer, Bobby Jones, and Dolph Schayes. So Iverson's statue will be the next one there. It's going to be unveiled on April 12th. Already has his jersey retired by the 76ers. He's a top 75 player of all time. He's in the Hall of Fame, of course. But he's getting the statue, and what everyone wants to know is, what's the pose going to be? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of talk about that. It feels like most people think it's either, or what they want is, which makes me laugh, him stepping over no. Tyronn Lue in the finals of game one way back in the day. Okay. That'd be very weird. Yeah. Maybe a crossover of some sort.
Yeah.
Or another popular one, the hand to the ear calling to the crowd, the Philly crowd.
That's what it sure feels like to me.
You think it'll be that one?
Yeah. A Hulk Hogan. Let me hear you. That's what it feels like to me. But I didn't know about the walkway with all those.
Yeah.
Thank you to Allen Iverson for taking us through that. There's a he put it up on his Instagram.
I saw that.
A video where he just walked through each person and said, Wilt. Yeah. Billy Cunningham.
Yeah.
Dolph Shays. Woo. Yeah. So that was fun.
They're
didn't know
all that. Made by the same person, I believe, too. Mm-hmm. All of the sculptures. Which is, I mean, it looks sort of cool.
Yeah, and they're not humongous. You know, they sort of have a little podium like they are.
Right, they're not
like, we've got Dominique here in Atlanta where it's like 18, 20 feet, however big it is. It's huge.
Towering.
Right.
This one, these ones are smaller, and so you can keep adding. I kind of like that.
Less clay?
They look goldish.
No, yeah, I think they're like, yeah, I'm sure there's some
gold plated. I don't know what they go with for AI, for sure.
What do you think?
I do think it'll be the hand to ear.
Okay.
I think that was like the center image on the announcement as well, right?
It was.
He's definitely well known for that one. I would go with that, but the step over would be cool if they can't put Ty Lue on it, right? Like, but they should just leave a gap and like you can lay there and you can be getting stepped over by Allen Iverson.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now that's going to be tough with that little platform it's on.
That's tough.
Yeah. But that is a good idea.
Interactive.
People will do that to take a photo for sure for themselves. Just lie on the platform.
Yeah, just for those that don't know, I don't know why you wouldn't, but Iverson, 11-time All-Star, 7 All-NBA selections, 4-time NBA scoring champ. I don't think I knew that. I knew he had a couple. I didn't know it was 4. Led the league in steals on 3 occasions. Iverson has the 9th highest scoring average in league history at 26.7 per game. Get this. Iverson owns the 3rd highest scoring average in playoff history behind 2 guys. 1, Michael Jordan. And 2, current player.
Who scores a ton of points in the playoffs, Luka Doncic?
That's right.
Nice.
Iverson, 3rd, you know, just under 30 points per game in the playoffs. And went to the playoffs like a decent number of times, obviously, with Philly.
Finals once.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he was pretty good with Denver as well. But that's pretty impressive that he has that kind of scoring average, because he wasn't scoring a ton at the end of his career, which obviously ended pretty quickly. But, man, I loved Iverson.
Oh.
Had his Georgetown jersey and shorts.
Wow, you had the shorts too.
Yeah.
Did you wear an undershirt like he did? Like the cutoff
undershirt? No, I had really big muscles.
Oh, wow.
Show off.
Okay, cool. And this announcement came on the 10th anniversary of Iverson's number 3 being retired by the franchise, which is a cool little thing there.
Yeah. It's nice that he's extremely celebrated because, you know, they had a little bit of tension. A little bit.
He came back at the end of his career, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, water under the bridge. How do you feel about calling them sculptures instead of statues? What's the difference? Because I noticed they went with sculpture.
They did.
I said statue. That was me. But they went with sculpture.
Maybe it's a size thing. I don't know.
Maybe. Don't know. Hey, that's a good point. I was wondering if it was a size thing or maybe whatever it's made out of. Is that possible?
Yeah, I thought maybe the designer designs a sculpture, but he also
I think it's a size. I think it's a size. Because like when they had that stupid Cristiano...
Ronaldo,
remember bust. The one that looked hilarious? Yeah, that's a bust. Yeah. That's a sculpture. You're not going to call that a statue.
I call that a bust.
Yeah, because
it was
true.
Just neck up.
It was a bust because it was horrible. Am I right?
Yeah, and that, it was nice. Do you get a fist bump for that? Yeah, he had no shoulders. Well, actually, I guess he had shoulders.
Yeah,
but he had no chest.
Yeah, crazy face though. A wild face. Well, I asked Allen Iverson what the difference is between a sculpture and a statue. In essence, all statues are sculptures, but not all sculptures are statues. Sculpture is a broader category that includes various types of three-dimensional artworks.
Okay. All right.
It's like a rectangle square sort of thing.
It is. We're learning here.
ChatGPT is only good for one thing. What was that?
A statue specifically refers to a sculptural representation of a person, animal, deity, or object. I guess Allen Iverson is both a person and a deity.
Yeah, he is in Philly for sure. Yeah. Next one here. Put your ball caps on backwards. Do it. Thank you. Toronto Raptors big man Kelly Olynyk has signed a 2-year, $26.25 million contract extension. Kelly loves to wear a backwards ball cap. Did it at his wedding. Respect. I mean, crazy.
The whole time, right?
I think so. Like, in photos, like in wedding photos, he's wearing a backwards baseball cap. Do you think he took it off at all for any like other photos with his wife?
No.
Catch the probably rice. Not. With it? I don't know.
Kelly Olynyk eligible to sign the extension, which takes him through the 25-26 season until June 30th. This gives him the maximum 5% annual raises allowed under the deal. So Captain Canada, he's played pretty well here for Toronto, averaging 9 points, career best 4.2 assists this season, shooting a career high 54%. But were you surprised at all by this extension here? Again, 2 years, $26 million. Kelly Olynyk staying with the Raps.
I am surprised you call him Captain Canada. Is that his name?
Well, he's the captain of Team Canada.
Oh, he's the captain of yep. Team Canada. Wow.
Yeah. Which actually...
He has been there for a long time.
But to sort of tie those two thoughts together, Michael Grange tweeted this morning, nice side benefit of doing this deal now, because in theory, Olynyk could have signed a longer deal in free agency, is Olynyk has got the certainty of a deal in place before Team Canada training camp opens in late June. Because some of these guys we see that are potentially going to play for their country in any of these international tournaments, if they don't have a contract, like you don't want to risk that. It's a lot of money if something goes wrong. So that's taken care of, and you would assume he's going to be in Paris there.
Good for Kelly, which is it's also good for the Raptors. That's a great deal for a backup center. He should be a backup center in the NBA, because in today's NBA, where you got threes flying all over the place, you need your big man to be able to move a lot. You know, the three-pointer comes up, gets a pick, and then he goes up against the center. And Kelly is lacking that place, that spot of his game right now. It's just defensively, it hasn't been even good, all that good with the Raptors. But he's good as a backup guy. 12 mil is not a lot of money. He is getting older, and this is going to take him till he's 35.
He talked about wanting to retire a Toronto Raptor.
Yes, he did.
When he came. In his little press conference.
He's allowed.
So he might.
I think he's officially allowed now. That's not a lot of money. And if you can keep getting cheaper and cheaper, it's definitely allowed. It is interesting, speaking of the money, what's going to happen next year with the Raps. Because now they have only $92 million guaranteed to eight players. And the guys who could come off the books, Bruce Brown, he's got an option. And Gary Trent Jr. And Emmanuel Quickley, they got to figure out what they're going to do. But they are sort of planning for the future. I think Ochai Agbaji is the guy that they got from Utah for the purpose of more of the future. Like, they're looking for him. But anyways, Kelly is just nice to have around, and he's obviously a great offensive player. I say defensively he's a little slow, but offensively the guy can set it up a great bench, that's for sure.
What do you think about this extension?
He's good. This is a pretty fair deal. Like, 12.5 is kind of what it costs for a backup center, but they could have just signed him for that for the MLE in the summer. But instead, they traded a first-round pick, which meant they kind of had to pay him. So, nice.
They got
nice business.
Yes, that's right. And yeah, I mean, like, I guess they're happy with their 48 minutes of center play going to Poeltl and Kelly Olynyk. That's the thinking here.
Are you?
Are you?
For maybe the cost of what it is for those two guys, I guess I'm not super upset with it. But yeah, it doesn't. Look, it's not the center of your future. But like Kelly Olynyk, I will say, in Darko's system of at least what he wants to do makes sense. They want ball movement, ball movement, ball movement. Olynyk is great at that. You know, like I said, 4.2 assists this season. He's not a ball stopper. He looks for guys. You cut back door, he's going to find you. So. Yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it.
Okay. Okay with KO.
That's right. All right, next piece of news here.
Hat forward.
Yes, please. Okay. Donovan Mitchell will miss at least the next three games with a bone bruise on his left knee. He's going to be very close to being ineligible for all NBA selection. The Cavs said he received a platelet-rich plasma injection into his knee Monday at the Cleveland Clinic. So Mitchell has missed a few games here up to this news. Now he's going to miss three more for sure. Tonight against the Celtics, Wednesday against the Hawks, Friday against the Wolves. No Mitchell. And then we'll see moving forward. His status will be reevaluated. But then if he missed one more, I believe, after that, you can take Donovan Mitchell out of the running for All-NBA, which he was going to be a lock. We did that last week. We had him on our second team.
Wow, yeah.
So that opens up one more spot for one of these guards, which there are a lot of great guards that are probably deserving of an All-NBA spot this year. But anyway, thoughts on this news?
Yeah, Mitchell and his agent should go knock into the NBA and say, we've got to change this rule next season. This could be the only time that the All-NBA is required to have 65 games. But you got to play a lot. Anyways, whatever. I think Don Mitchell will be fine. The platelet-rich plasma now gets done here in North America. It used to be like a thing in Europe. Kobe used to fly to Germany and get it done. But I guess this just shows you. It doesn't show you anything. I don't know anything about this medicine. But what I do know is that he's going to be back soon. Right? Like that, I don't think it's going to hold him up. Right. I don't think it's an injury, but it is something to just try and strengthen his knee a little bit.
Had the bruise there on that left knee.
Yeah.
They got to get him right in time for the playoffs because obviously they need Mitchell. He's a playoff riser, and the Cavs have been struggling here. They're 3-4 since the All-Star break. One of those wins was the Max Strus crazy comeback game where he hit a 60-footer to win it. Their other two wins are against the Pistons and the Wizards. They got a 3.5 game lead on the 4 seed right now, only 4 games up on the 5th seed. So who knows? They could still beat the Hawks, I do believe. They play in Atlanta in a couple of days.
Yep.
They could still win that game without Mitchell. Celtics and Timberwolves, I think, will be a little bit harder. But depending on what happens behind them, the Knicks, they're obviously banged up right now. I guess we don't know if Brunson's going to be missing any time with his weird injury that happened. Obviously, Embiid is still out right now, that we should get an update pretty soon, I would think. And then Orlando is kind of hunting around there maybe to try and get up into the top 4. But it seems like Cleveland should be able to hold on to home court advantage in the first round as long as Mitchell comes back and looks okay after the PRP.
This is definitely a deal with it right now. Yeah. Let's take care of this, you know, get him geared up for the playoff push and then you've got to have Donovan Mitchell in a playoff series to help your chances, obviously, to advance.
And it shows how much he's meant to them. You're right. They just look different without him and just the way they play defense. And Mitchell's not a defender, but they have this different mentality when they go into every single game without him. And I say that because Milwaukee Bucks have officially taken second place right now from Cleveland Cavaliers because the Cavs have been bad since the All-Star game. And it looks like, you know, if you want to get really super duper geek about the rankings or standings, I should say, it feels like the Milwaukee Bucks are going to do it even if they don't have a better divisional record, because that's the second tiebreaker. First tiebreaker is head-to-head,
right.
Divisional record. The Milwaukee Bucks actually played an extra divisional game because of the IST than the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm not going to get too geeky, but it could come down to that type of stuff. And it feels like the Milwaukee Bucks, despite having a tough schedule the rest of the way, are playing a different way right now, underdog.
And Donovan Mitchell this year is averaging 28 points per game, 6 assists, 5.5 boards, shooting 47 from the floor, 37 from deep, 86 at the line. He's got a PER of 23. Now, he's only played 47 games, and yeah, he might miss that 65-game threshold. But like in most other years, Donovan Mitchell's probably in the MVP conversation. He might get like a end of the ballot, maybe, vote or two, but like, like he's not going to finish in the top 5. He'll probably finish in the top 10, at the bottom of it. But like, that's an incredible year, is my point.
He definitely deserves some votes.
Yeah,
we haven't seen the MVP table for such a long time. I think it's because we've decided who the 5 guys sitting there are.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and the 5 icons.
That's true.
That we can choose from.
They're just not getting up from the seat.
They're like, it's us. Sorry, we're eating. We're having a long dinner.
All right, final piece of news. Let's go to the WNBA world for a second here, because big news yesterday from Shireen Ahmad of CBC Sports. Billionaire Larry Tanenbaum is pursuing a WNBA expansion team for Toronto. So Tanenbaum, a minority owner and chairman of the sporting giant MLSE, which owns the Maple Leafs, the Raptors, TFC, Argos, Marlies, is seeking the team through his holding company, the Kilmer Group. We saw a preseason game in May, sold out. There was a lot of buzz around the idea of Toronto possibly trying to get a WNBA team. And then we hear this news. The Warriors are getting the 13th WNBA team in expansion, I believe starting this season. The Blazers, or Portland, excuse me, were going to get one, but I think that fell through. But anyway, looking likely here, Tass, maybe that Toronto is one of these teams that get a WNBA squad.
The enthusiasm they had for that game, definitely a good start. And getting Larry Tanenbaum behind it, who was behind the Raptors way back when, did a great job of that under MLSE's umbrella. MLSE, as you said, owns the Maple Leafs, the Raptors, a soccer team, a Canadian football team, a minor league hockey team. But very odd to hear that one person specifically who owns a huge part of MLSE said no to the WNBA team, which was really weird to me. So Larry Tanenbaum says, you know what? It doesn't really matter to me if it's going to be under the umbrella. We'll see if it is under the umbrella. But either way, it will be successful. So I feel like it'll be successful anyways. It just feels natural. It feels right. Feels like it will. Did you see how many sports teams Toronto supports? I mean, that's a lot. Yeah,
there is a market for this. There's an appetite for this. This Absolutely. Is sort of a no-brainer. It's when, not if, Toronto gets an expansion team for the WNBA. But yeah, the part with Tannenbaum, you're right. Like, Rogers apparently didn't want one.
Old Rogers.
So he's like, so Tannenbaum's like, well, maybe we'll do this on our own, or at least with my own group. We'll see what comes of that. But any thoughts on this? Trey Kirby?
Well, I like what Ziggy said in the stream team. The Raptors were named after a popular movie of the day, so the WNBA team is going to be the Toronto Spice Worms.
A little Dune reference right now. Interesting.
The Spice
Worms. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, hopefully it goes through for Toronto, because it seemed like they were next in line. But the Bay Area team, I guess, was the one that did it, because it seemed like after the preseason game and all the buzz that they had, with MLSE being involved, it seemed like Toronto was next up, but obviously that wasn't the case. But whenever they do get a team, they got a good coach. James Wade coaches with the Raptors. He won a title with the Chicago Sky back in 2021, and I wonder if he would move back to the W if that's the case.
Interesting. Mm. Yes, and a CBC source said Tannenbaum is looking at the Coca-Cola Coliseum on Toronto's exhibition grounds as a possible venue. That's where the Marlies play. I think it's like an 8,000 sort of seat venue. So it's, like, it's obviously not in the Scotiabank Arena, which is like 18,000. This is a smaller one.
It's a smaller one, but it's a nice one. It's a quaint place, and you already have it existing, so I'm sure it makes sense. The hockey team plays one season, and in comes the WNBA team that plays at a different time of the year. So that makes a heck of a lot of sense. And Larry Tannenbaum was the guy who gave his plane to Vince Carter when Vince took just a quick jaunt during the same day he was supposed to play Game 7 against the Philadelphia 76ers against Allen Iverson.
That's right.
He just gave him the plane and said, you know, you can go to your graduation. That's pretty cool. He went to North Carolina's graduation. So Larry Tannenbaum probably gave his plane to the ladies,
I'd say. So Larry Tannenbaum, rich. Yeah. Rich guy. That's Larry all you need T. to know.
I like him, though. I like him. You know, a lot of the times we see the owners come and get the trophy for winning the Larry O'Brien. You just don't want to hear them talk too much, right? But Larry Tannenbaum, I would like to hear him talk. I like that guy. I just like there aren't too many owners where you're like, all right, I'm so excited to hear an owner before we hear the players. There's like zero.
Yeah.
But Larry, I'm cool with.
But now there's one. Larry Tannenbaum.
When the WNBA, the Toronto Silver Worms, what were they called? Spiky Worms?
Spice Worms.
Spice Worms.
Spiky Worms.
My bad.
What are they going to call this team, I wonder? Well, like, you know, go Huskies? Toronto Huskies? Probably not. They sometimes use that for the throwback.
Yeah.
For the Raptors team.
UConn Huskies is a huge women's basketball success story.
This is a hard one.
Ice?
Toronto Ice?
I don't know. I'm just...
Yeah, throw them out.
Brainstorming the ice. Let's hear from you in the chat when the Toronto group here finally gets a WNBA team. What should they call the squad? Let us know. I mean, Sky versus Ice when Chicago comes to town.
Sounds like an American Gladiator showdown.
Gladiators, ready! For sure. We got to take one more break. When we come back, a great tweet of the night. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, before we go, we must do Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Tweet of the Night comes to us from @TaylorCSnow. Taylor Snow, an in-house writer for the Boston Celtics, who tweeted the Celtics' favorite movie villains with a long list of favorite villains. Jaylen Brown picked Thanos. O'Shea Brissett picked the Green Goblin. Jason Tatum picked Alonzo Harris from Training Day. Sam Hauser, Svi Mykhailiuk, Al Horford all picked the Joker. Drew Holiday, he liked the Joker as well, but he couldn't decide. He said the Joker and Bane. Both good villains. Derek White agreed. Bane is his favorite movie villain. But the answer that caught everybody's eye was Luke Cornett, who said his favorite movie villain was Personal Trauma in Good Will Hunting. What a great answer, man. What a great answer, and what a great hometown answer as well.
Right.
I mean, it's set in Boston.
Right.
I would say that guy at the bar, though, is maybe one of the biggest villains in Good Will Hunting.
In Good Will Hunting?
Yeah, the one who had to eat the apples.
Yeah.
You like those apples? I read those books, too. Who's your guys' favorite villain?
Wow. Do you have one?
I thought, first of all, yeah, Luke Cornett, great. I thought the Alonzo Harris from Train Day, that was a nice addition there from Jason Tatum.
I didn't know that was the Denzel's name, character's name. Mm. I was like, who the heck is that? And you obviously type it in like, oh, yeah, Training Day, that's a good one.
Yeah, that got me thinking. I said, yes, that's probably mine after, because I just love that movie. I guess they like doing this too because Grant Williams isn't there. Because Grant Williams used to be the Batman.
They all loved the Joker. Yeah. That's why they had to get rid of him.
See ya, Grant. You're out of here. You don't like villains, buddy.
NBA players do love the Joker, though.
Yeah, I do as well. It might be my answer for my favorite villain. I mean, I'm not a Darth Vader guy. Like, who are the most iconic villains?
Darth Vader is definitely up there.
Yeah.
Michael Myers?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you can go horror.
How about Hans Gruber? I saw he's rated very highly.
Hans Gruber. Yeah. Good one.
Hannibal Lecter.
Anton Chigurh for me, man.
That's a
great one.
Yep.
Great one.
How about the accelerated passage of time in Interstellar? Wow. That scene when he sees what his kids have been up to for the past 30 years. He's like, I was gone 10 minutes, man.
Oh, man. Don't
devastating.
Talk about it. You know I love Interstellar.
Yeah, it's one of the second best time travel space movie out there.
What's first?
Arrival.
Oh, you like Arrival?
Arrival's better.
You recently just watched it, didn't you? Yeah. It's good. I like to go back to Luke Cornett's personal trauma in Good Will Hunting. I like having one super weirdo white guy in the league. We always have to have just one really unique, random dude. And Luke Cornett feels like he's playing that role perfectly. And they're usually like on good teams. Like, I'm sort of thinking like, you know, Matt Bonner, I feel, would like answer like this back in the day.
The sandwich hunter.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. Like a quirky, just weirdo.
Scalabrini for a little bit.
Yeah, right. Yep. Right. So that's Luke Cornett has taken up that torch. And it's a funny answer. But I will go the Joker. I guess when you say the Joker, you get all versions.
Oh, that's cheating, I think. You got to choose between Heath Jack.
I'm taking Heath. I can't even take what's the Joker standalone movie?
Oh, right. Joaquin.
Yeah, Joaquin. Phoenix. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've heard that movie's good. True?
No. Not true.
That's good. I haven't ever watched it.
It's fine.
Yeah. So I hate that movie so much.
You hate it?
I hate it.
Are they making a second one?
It's going to be a musical. Lady Gaga's in it. So I'm mildly interested.
They're making it for you, man.
Yeah. They're trying to win me back.
Yeah. You little monster.
That,
you.
That is not good.
To answer your question, I'm taking Heath. Mm. Come on.
Yeah, it's Heath.
That's great.
Heath, Jack, close second. But, you know, the Joker is a great villain because whenever he's on screen, you want more. You don't want less Batman, more Joker.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what a great villain is, right?
Very true.
Definitely your team Joker over Bane if you have to pick between the two. Oh,
come on. Yes.
Yeah.
But what about Matt Austin's Bane impersonation?
I mean, it's better than his Joker impersonation, that's for sure.
Speaking into, what's he always say?
You have my permission to die.
You have my permission to die. He does it always.
And then he's like,
and then
Matt will go,
sleeping in my cup, sleeping in my cup.
I don't know why he would always say that, but he would. All right. Green Goblin? No love for the gob?
What are we talking? William Dafoe?
Willem Dafoe? Yeah, I think he's the main goblin. Yeah. They brought him back.
He's good. He's good. He's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown going to Thanos.
Great villain. You know.
Yeah. He's got some good points.
The good villains also have some great points.
That's right.
So true. Same with Bane.
Yeah. That's right.
Bane was just Robin Hood.
Pretty much.
He's a cool guy in my book.
Robin Hood who hates football. I'm going to blow up the Heinz Field.
He hates football. Maybe he likes basketball more.
Yeah. Basketball never mess with a basketball stadium.
He's like, my son, do you know Desmond? He's going to be coming in. All right, let's call it there. Great tweet.
My son Desmond.
Talking villains. Busy 9-game slate in the NBA. TNT doubleheader, Celtics-Cavs. and Suns Nuggets. There's a lot of games on 7:30. I might jump on playback tonight. I might fire that up for like the second half of some of those earlier games. So join the playback room. You know when we go live. That link is in the show notes. So we might see you then. If not, we'll see you here tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, a great weirdo in this league who we didn't mention.
Yeah.
Robin Lopez. He was good. He got released and then sat courtside and read a book. That's what he did the day after he was released during a game, just reading a book, which isn't weird, but, you know, he's a weirdo.
Reading is not weird.
No, reading. I'm just trying to endorse some reading out there. Robin was good at reading. Good weirdo.
Who would be his favorite villain? It would have to be a Disney villain, right? Oh, I guess he's a big
Maleficent?
Maleficent. It's just a straight-up Maleficent.
It's possible. We'll have to ask him. Brace the day, people.